Tonight's broadcast is dedicated to the loving memory of Sarah Nadine Hart.
The following is a special Halloween election edition of American Adversaries on 660 WORL. You may be aware that professional wrestling is described as sports entertainment. In other words, it's scripted and rehearsed. And while it requires a high level of physical ability, its main purpose is to keep its fans interested and entertained. The things you see inside the squared circle of the wrestling arena should not be tried at home. With this in mind, our disclaimer. Portions of tonight's broadcast of American Adversaries have been scripted and rehearsed. While tonight's program requires a high level of mental agility, our main purpose is to keep you, our listeners, interested and entertained as well as informed. We are professionals. Do not try this at home.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the American Adversaries. Join Lair Adams and Christopher Hart as they grapple for the truth in politics and life. Here they are, the American Adversaries.
Let's get ready to mumble! Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of American Adversaries right here on 660 WORL. I am not Lair Adams, and I'm not even Christopher Hart. I am Nostradamus. Usually I'm on the other side of the glass there answering your phone calls to get you on the air. Tonight, though, thank you to Lair and Chris for putting their trust in me, letting me sit in what he likes to call the mumble seat, while they are both off checking out our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on this weekend before the election. They took their Southern limo down there, and they're tooling around. Well, we're going to get to each of them throughout the next 2 hours, trying to get some interviews out of them with some people walking the streets and, you know, seeing what's going on in the nation's capital. You may want to know, why are we called the American Adversary? Well, that's simple. That's because we live in an adversarial form of government. It's a form of government meant to prevent tyranny. And just as in our judicial system, it's our responsibility to be informed, hear the parties present their cases, and then decide which of them wins the day. And to us, politics is kind of like professional wrestling. They both have a lot of theatrics, a lot of backroom deals, a lot of showmanship involved with them. And that's why we are the American Adversaries. It's finally here. This is the weekend before, quite possibly, the most crucial election in our nation's history. And Lair and Chris are both on site in Washington, reporting live tonight. Lair's going to be outside the White House, and Chris is going to be less than a mile away. He's going to be out in front of the Capitol building. They'll both be checking in with us in just a few minutes, talking to average people on the streets of D.C. Now, you can't have adversaries if there's only one of me. And so, tonight we have political science professor Sylvester Wise from Minnesota State University. He was in Orlando this weekend for a conference on global warming, and he's graciously agreed to join us to take a look at some of the most hotly contested races. Welcome to American Adversaries, Professor Wise.
Well, thank you, Mr. Nostra. Mr. Dennis?
Yeah, Dennis will do, I guess. I got to ask you, Professor, who is that strangely dressed man in the green room you came by with today?
Why, you must be referring to my colleague, renowned astrophysicist Dr. Chacon Littell, one of the most brilliant men alive today.
Really? One of the most brilliant?
Why, indeed. There is Hawking, there is Kasparov, there is Voss Savant, and then, of course, there is Chacon Littell.
Chicken Little.
It is pronounced Chacon Littell.
Okay, Chacon Littell. All righty, then. Let's get right to the races. The House is definitely going to swing the Republicans' way. Right now, even if all the toss-up seats that are being identified that could go either way went the other way and went to the Democrats, the Republicans would still take the House. What is your take on that?
Well, there is still a certain amount of speculation as to exactly how many seats will sway one way or the other, again, depending upon which pundit you happen to be listening to. I, for one, think that a lot of this is hype and probably a whole lot of Tea Party enthusiasm and hope for change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, it's only until Tuesday that we will find out the actual course of events as they fall into place.
Well, one of the keys has been independent voters, swing voters, and in today's Wall Street Journal, swing voters, it says, are flocking to the GOP. And there are at least four Senate races that are toss-ups that originally were going to be held by Democrats no matter what, that are now right on the edge. They're teetering and may tip over to the Republicans.
Again, you've said it best. They are teetering, which is not to say they will sway one way or the other until the actual election takes place. And again, we still have 2 days, well, technically 46 hours, until the election finals are in. So I really would not count the Democrats out of this race yet. I mean, we are a Democrat society, and I just simply think that we will hold the ground on this.
Well, actually, we are a representative republic, not
yes.
a democracy, but be that as it may. Going over the governor's races, there are 10 toss-ups among all the governorships up this year, and a lot of them are in the Northeast, which is traditionally Democrat. Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont are all straight down the middle toss-ups. Even New Hampshire, which is always a Democratic state, is only leaning Democrat. It hasn't been actually called either way at this point.
Quite right. But again, we are still speculating. I think it's very important to note that the election is still 2 days away. We still have the opportunity to maintain the House and Congress as it is and move on with taking care of the needs of this country.
Okay. Thank you very much, Professor Sylvester Wise from Minnesota State University. He'll be with us all night tonight. And now let's check in via our high-tech ISDN lines with Christopher Hart, who is outside the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can. Dennis, hi, Dennis, and a big howdy duty to all you great folks in Central Florida. I have to tell you, it is an absolutely gorgeous night here in Washington, D.C. The weather is perfect, but you know, even more than that, there's a distinct buzz in the air. We're on the verge of an historically monumental election, and it seems to have drawn people from all walks of life to the nation's capital. There's one organized rally that I see. It's of Tea Partiers, most of whom are wearing those powdered wigs, those white powdered wigs, and carrying pewtered mugs. But mostly it's just couples and small groups meandering about. I myself am standing on the sidewalk at the base of the Capitol on the west side of the building. From here, I can see the Washington Monument. And in the distance, way down on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, I can just make out the White House where Lair is. Hey, Dennis, why don't you check in with Lair while I find someone to do an interview with?
Great. Thanks, Chris. One question, though. There was some kind of rally or something in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Is there garbage all over the Washington Monument and the Mall?
Now that you mention it, Dennis, there is quite a bit of litter just laying mm-hmm. around, and the people who are walking around just seem to be showing a great deal of disgust for it. And I have to say, the tea partiers are over there with bags picking stuff up.
Right. They left the place cleaner than when they got there, when they had their own rally back at the end of August.
And it looks like they're going to do the same tonight.
Great. Okay, now let's check in just about a mile down the road with Lair over at the White House. Lair. Can you hear me? Are you there?
That's right. I'm right here, Dennis. Hello, world. And boy, was Chris right. It is simply a beautiful, marvelous night here in D.C., and there does seem to be a buzz in the air, although I think it's something these liberals are smoking. That's domestic. I'm standing outside the White House on the south side, just outside the press entrance. Tell you what, there really seems to be a lot of cars and people, big hubba coming and going, probably delivering messages of condolence to President Obama for the drubbing he's going to take this Tuesday, November 2nd. Get out and vote, folks. But right now it's Halloween, and Chris and I hope to bring you a little flavor of the sights and sounds in our nation's capital tonight, folks. Hey, it's back to you, Dennis, while I flag down a group of what looks to be some tourist interview.
Okay, thanks, Larry.
Hey,
you and Chris both sound like you're having a very good time there, and I'm stuck in this studio in beautiful Altamont Springs. Now, back to Professor Wise. It would seem the American voting public realizes the significance of this election.
Yes, that's right, Nostradamus.
Nostra. That's Nostra, Dennis.
Oh, sorry, Nostradamus.
Like the guy who predicted things back in the 15th century.
Yes. And as I was saying, this election is going to be bigger than a hillbilly hoedown in Hot Springs.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, Professor, for that informative insight. Chris, have you found anybody to interview yet? Please.
Yes. Hey, Dennis, thanks, folks. This is Christopher Hart here at the base of the steps of the Capitol building. And sure have, Dennis, I'd like y'all folks to meet Lindley Lionheart. He's a tea partier and one of our nation's farmers. Welcome to the show, Lindley. Excuse me, Lindley, here. Speak directly into the microphone.
That's right. I'm Lindley Lionheart from Wee Wah Hootie, Florida. You know, I'm here to show my support for Tea Party candidates.
Let me ask you, how old are you?
Well, I'm old enough to know not to ask stupid questions, boy.
You're right, Lindley.
Well, actually, I'm old enough to remember when people were proud of this country and what she's given. You know, this great Tea Party is nothing new. Started with Ronald Reagan. He preached smaller government and taxed enough already.
You're absolutely right. And that's why this election is so important.
Yeah, you got it, Mr. Hart. Now, some people look at the American flag waving in the breeze, and they get a tear in their eye. Some people look at the flag, and they feel hate. I don't know why.
You're right, Lindley. Thanks for talking with us. Back to you, Dennis.
All right. Good stuff, Chris. Thanks very much. Please wish Lindley well for us. Larry, how about you? You got to top that from Chris. I understand you have a couple from New York with you?
Yeah, find some people over here, Dennis. We sure have. Folks like you to meet Dominic and Rachel. Where from New York you guys from anyway?
Hey, we're from Long Island, New York.
Can you speak right into the mic there, Dominic?
Sorry about that. Okay. We're from Long Island, New York. My name is Dominic DeFazio. And this is my beautiful bride here, Rachel. Come on, Rachel, don't be shy. Say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
Yeah, there she goes. Hey, can I say hi to our family?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
All right, I want to say hi to my brother Mikey, my sister Sophia, or my cousin Vinny, who is currently incarcerated. How about you, Rachel?
Well, I want to say hello to everyone from my Oprah book club back in Massapequa. I miss you guys.
You guys are from Massapequa? I can't even say that.
Yeah, but if you grew up there, you might have called it matzah pizza, you know, because there's a very high concentration of Jewish Americans there like me.
Yeah, and Italian Americans like me.
Whatever.
Plus, you know, the fact that I am a diehard conservative and Rachel here, well, she is not.
Well, I just don't like all that name-calling and everything. That's why I hate politics. But I love President Obama. I only shop where Michelle shops. That family's dress is so good.
Ah, forget about it, Rachel. You don't know what you're talking about. But you got to love her anyway, huh? You know what I'm saying? I look at her. Jesus, Giuseppe Maria, what a figure.
Okay, thank you, folks, for your time. Listen, let's go back to the studio and Nostra Dennis.
Thank you, Lair. What a bunch of characters you can find walking around Washington, D.C. By the way, I know you guys like to hear those news of the weird stories sometimes, and you're going to love this one. Our engineer and executive producer for tonight's show, Colin Brady, has just handed me a bulletin off the wires. Several objects have been sighted in the upper atmosphere of Earth, headed towards somewhere in the Western Hemisphere. No details are available yet, but once they've confirmed that this is just a weather balloon or a smudge on someone's TV screen or some astronomer's telescope, we'll give you an update. You are listening to American Adversaries. We are right here on 660 WORL. Back after this.
Special edition of the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons, either living or dead, is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to
War of the Words.
All right, we are back with a special edition of American Adversaries here on 660 WORL. Oh, just in case you are listening online, don't forget it's WORL660.com. If you want to reach us, the American Adversaries ourselves, our website is AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. You click on Contacts, and you can drop us a line, let us know what you think. Even if you disagree with us, that's fine because, hey, we're adversaries. It's that form of government. It's nothing wrong with clashing from time to time. All right. Like I said at the top of the show, our co-hosts Chris Hart and Larry Adams are in Washington, D.C. on this weekend before Election Day. and they are getting reactions and thoughts from people on the street. I'm Nostradamus, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. Colin, what do you think? Do you think we can get Chris and Lair back on the air again for a minute?
Hello, hello. Hey, Dennis, can you hear me?
Yes, Christopher Hart, how are you? Did you hear that report that I read just before the break about, I guess you could call them UFOs headed to Earth?
Really? No, I did not. But I can tell you from here at the Capitol that I can sure see quite a few strange folks, but definitely no UFOs. How about you, Lair? Any strange lights in the sky?
Hey, guys, the only lights in the sky I can see from here at the White House are the spotlights on the very top of the Washington Monument. There's this lady there with a really shiny top on, and boy, when she walks, you know, the lights are like, boom, 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 boom. Anyway, it's all up, and it's lit up as the sun begins to set over D.C. I gotta tell you, it looks beautiful tonight, folks.
That's right, folks. I also can see the Washington Monument where I'm at, and it's beautiful. It's lit all up from top to bottom.
Now, did you guys hear that the Washington Monument has been the focus of some last-minute campaign ads by the Democrats? They've been saying, if the Republicans take over Congress, they're going to shut down the government, and tourists aren't going to be able to visit the Washington Monument.
Oh,
evil
no.
Republicans.
Trying to remind everybody of when Newt Gingrich shut down the government on Bill Clinton, right?
Actually, doing nothing might be a good thing after what's happened the last 18 months.
Bring on the gridlock.
Okay, gentlemen, you both enjoy the view. Keep getting a couple of those average Joes and Janes together for some more Election Day reactions. We will get back to you both in a little bit. Let me welcome back political science professor Sylvester Wise from Minnesota State University. He's here in Central Florida for a global warming conference, and we're looking at some of the tightest races in the election. Now, Professor Wise, before the break, we touched a little bit on all the races, but let's go specifically to the Florida governor's race, Scott and Sink.
Well, it looks like the Florida voters are in line to pick the candidate with the most experience, actually part of the government, part of business, and they seem to be turning away from the gentleman with the questionable background. I don't want to say any more than that. Nothing has been proven yet other than business tactics that he might be blamed for.
Well, as you might know, when Rick Scott was in the process of buying hospitals as part of the consolidation of the medical care industry.
Correct.
Here in Florida,
yes.
He inherited a lot of practices that were, at the time, Medicare said, yes, that's the way you should do it. This is fine. Then after he purchased the hospitals, they said, oh, well, you can't do it that way. You got to do it this way. And by the way, we're going to fine you for it.
Well, and of course, there is the fact, it's a very simple fact indeed, that he personally was not accused of wrongdoing. It was the company itself. Of course, he was CEO, so you have to wonder exactly what the details are. But again, I think Alex is holding her own and looking forward to another Democratic victory in the state of Florida.
All right. Now, how about the debate that happened last week that before the debate started, both sides signed off on a provision that you couldn't pass notes during the debate. And a note was passed from the guy who signed off for Alex Sink, from him right to Alex Sink.
Well, I think Ms. Sink's biggest problem was that she simply did not admit to the error up front. It appears as though she did try to hide it. And unfortunately, anytime you try to hide something like that, it creates a bigger problem than the original problem might have been. Very, very simple, though.
Okay, do you think that's going to have any impact with the voters at all?
Well, I'm sure that the publicity out there is going to make some voters possibly reconsider. And when you look at the polls, you have a certain percentage of undecided polling candidates, as well as certain polling candidates who have indicated that they may change their vote after they have been polled. So it is still up in the air.
Okay.
But still, I think that the Democrats do have a bit of an edge in that particular race.
Okay. Thank you, Professor. I hate to interrupt you, but we're getting more details on what I was calling a news of the weird bulletin earlier. The United Press is reporting that those unidentified objects in Earth's upper atmosphere have now changed direction, and they're headed towards, of all places, Washington, D.C. That's the very place Chris and Lair are right now. So, Colin, let's see if we can get a hold of either or both of them, whichever one of them answers first. Let's get them on the air as soon as we can.
Hey, Dennis. Dennis, it's Lair here, buddy.
It's you. How are you, Lair?
I'm doing great. You know, I heard what you were talking about, and it's kind of eerie. I know this is something America really is concerned with.
That girl with the shiny top, she really wasn't that hot after all. Anyway, I do have a person here I'd like to interview. This is Bob Regard. Bob Regard, where are you from there, buddy?
Bob?
Bob Regard?
Speaking to the microphone, please.
Bob, yeah, that's me, dude. Yeah. Well, I came up from Kentucky. I was down there, and I thought I'd come up here.
I got a question for you, Bob. Nobody's talking about this, but... you know, the unions, the government unions, are bragging that they've pumped nearly $1 billion into this latest campaign. And guess where they got that money, Bob?
Well,
it rhymes with Bob. They borrowed it.
Sure.
They borrowed all that money. Now, didn't we just bail out these unions? We just bailed out these unions. And now, here they're borrowing a whole bunch more money to push their men in the elections. Who is paying for it? We are.
Well, where are they borrowing that money from?
Well, the banks and everybody else. What do you think about this? There's some talk about something in the sky. I've looked all over here, Dennis. I don't think, Bob, have you seen anything? I think it's a bunch of hysteria.
Well, no, but quite frankly, I ain't been looking up into the sky.
Okay. Well, listen, Dennis, I think we better throw it back to you there, buddy.
Okay, and I think we got Chris here. Chris, you have someone there with you?
Yeah, I'm looking in the sky, too. I don't see anything. But people are looking up and around the sky. They've evidently heard some news reports on their iPhones or something. And maybe even they're listening to our show. Ma'am, I see you looking up into the sky. Do you see anything?
No, I can't see anything but a bloody beautiful night sky.
Hey, there you heard it. Wait a minute. I do see something. I think I see something. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure I see it. It's a single light. It's bluish white, I think. It's like one of those annoying headlights, you know, people put on their SUVs. I hate those things, but anyway. Oh, yeah, but it's hovering. It's hovering up in the air. It's like it's not sure where to go. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what to think.
Chris? Lair? Chris? Can either of you hear me? Colin, can we get either of them back on the air? Oh, my goodness. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's a live show and these things happen, so please bear with us. Lair Adams and Christopher Hart are fine, I'm sure. They're up there. They're in Washington, D.C., and we're going to get them back as soon as possible so we can find out what the heck is going on. Professor Wise from Minnesota State University, thank you for joining us tonight. We will have you back once we get past this break. This is American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. I am Nostra Dennis, and we will be right back.
The American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons either living or dead is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to
War of the Words.
Back again, American Adversaries on 660 WORL. I'm Nostra Dennis, and something really strange is happening up in Washington, D.C. I mean, even stranger than the stuff that usually goes on up there. This was a special edition of American Adversaries when we started. It was Halloween, it was elections, it was, you know, a fun road trip for the guys, but it's turned into something much more than that. Our co-hosts, Lair Adams and Chris Hart, are both live in Washington, D.C. right now. Chris is on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, Lair is in front of the gates at the White House, and just at the end of the last segment, we lost audio contact with both of them, and we are working to get them back on the air. Meantime, Professor Sylvester Wise, can you shed any light on what might be going on here?
Why, I have no earthly idea. I'm a political science professor. I wouldn't know anything about lights in the sky or whatever nonsense they're talking about.
Well, if only we had some kind of expert with a background in astronomy or aeronautics or astrophysics.
Astrophysics? Why, of course. Dr. Chicon Littell, he's right in the green room. Perhaps we can ask him to shed some light on these extraordinary events.
Well, that is a brilliant idea. Perhaps the most brilliant one you have had tonight, Professor Wise.
Yes.
Colin, do you think we can get Dr. Chicken Little?
It's pronounced Littell.
All right, Dr. Chicon Littell from the green room, and ask him if he would consent to join us on the air tonight. Thanks. In the meantime, we do have Lair Adams back. Thank goodness. Lair, are you ready to go on the air now?
Hello, Mr. Dennis.
We hear you. Now, all the information that we've been able to get here in the studio
is there's a huge bright light in the sky over Washington, D.C. We can't get the wire services on the phone. We can't get anyone else in the press or the media on the phone. What is going on?
Dennis, I gotta tell you, this is amazing. These lights in the sky. It appears to be a huge object of some kind. I mean, it's not an airplane. It's not a helicopter. It's not a hovercraft. It's not even the Starship Enterprise. But it is flying. I can't identify it, buddy. I don't know exactly what to call this thing.
So it is flying.
Yes.
Okay, and it is an object.
Right.
And it is, as of right now, unidentified.
That is correct.
Yeah, you're right, Larry. I don't know what to call it either.
Uh-huh.
Maybe our expert scientists can make some kind of sense of this. Until then, I see we got Chris Hart back on line 8. He is live at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Chris, what is going on where you are right now at the Capitol?
Dennis, I can't believe this. I can see the object. It is definitely some kind of a ship, a spaceship. And it's starting to get long in the sky. There's a crowd of people gathering in the mall. The first street where the Capitol is located, all the way down to 15th. They're all looking up at this thing. We're all looking up.
Blair Adams, what can you see?
Oh, my God, Dennis, from where I'm standing, yes, I can see the ship. Oh, it is definitely a spaceship. It's a kind of cool one, too. It's not like some of the dorky ones in bad sci-fi movies, you know. They look like, you know, like candles with fire. Anyway, it's hovering the general vicinity of the Washington Monument now. And look, there is a light coming from the bottom of the ship. Wait a minute, Dennis. It's starting to change now.
Look at that.
It looks like it's changing colors. It's starting to turn orange or reddish. Oh, the light. Now, the light is changing size, too. It was big. Coming from all over the bottom of the ship, but wait, it's getting smaller now. Oh my God, it's getting more focused. I'm not sure, but it looks like it's changing shape from round to oval, and this time into a square. Yes, James, it is definitely a square.
That's right, Larry. I can see that square too. Now it's directly above the monument. Oh my Lord, I think it's going to crash into the monument. No, wait, it's not crashing into it. It's sliding down around the monument. Larry, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, my God, yes, I am, Chris. I can only describe this as amazing. The craft is settling down around the Washington Monument, almost as if it was created to be some sort of, maybe like a docking station. Actually, when you think about it, it's kind of kinky. But anyway, now as we know, construction began on the Washington Monument way back in, I believe that was 1848, Dennis. That was before the Civil War, you know. Of course, it was finally finished in 1884. That's when it was topped with a 9-foot-tall pyramid made of aluminum, which some people thought was a precious metal at the time, Dennis. Didn't know if you knew that.
Pyramid, you say? Aluminum, you say? Aha! It's all coming together in my mind now. Now, weren't the pyramids in Egypt supposed to have been proof of life outside our solar system, huh? And aren't people who wear aluminum hats trying to be schizophrenic conspiracy theorists who are trying to protect themselves from the government reading their minds?
My God, Dennis, you may be right. Or you may be really crazy. The entire city is...
Larry, are you there? Chris, how about you?
Guys, something else is happening. The spacecraft has stopped moving, and it stopped moving. It's coming down. It's coming down. Oh, my God. The ground just shook around me. I think the spaceship, for lack of a better term, is docked and locked. People are running past me of all sides, but I have no idea. Excuse me. I have no idea where they're going.
Please,
we just lost contact again with both Chris and Larry. Once again, we'll get them back as soon as possible. In the meantime, please have a seat. We have Dr. Chikon Littell.
Yeah.
In our studio now. He's an astrophysicist. And, well, doctor, why don't you just take a second, tell us about yourself quickly, please.
Well, Mr. Dennis, well, I'm also the world's most foremost expert in climate change. I won the Nobel Peace Prize for my global warming theory. The sky, she is falling.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Littell. So you say the sky is falling.
But of course. Anyway, if you think about it, if there is no air, outer space would fall on top of us.
Oh, my God, I never thought about it that way.
Yes, I'm also one of the people responsible for President Obama getting the Nobel Prize. We awarded it to him for not being George Bush.
I see. Okay, well, thank you, I guess, Dr. Littell. While you've been introducing yourself, I have been tuning around the radio dial and the TV dial. We've got a real high-tech cable TV thing up on the wall here. It's HD and everything. It seems every news outlet out there is having some kind of transmission problems. Everyone but ours, that is. The cable news networks, all the old news radio stations, all of them, they're just... they're on and off the air intermittently. You're not going to be able to get any information anywhere but right here at 660 WORL. There might be a problem with their antennas. It might be atmospheric interference from the spaceship. We really don't know at this point. All we know for sure is this. We are the American Adversaries. We are on 660 WORL. Larry Adams and Christopher Hart are live on the scene at Washington, D.C. And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to this special edition of the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons either living or dead is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to...
War of the Words!
Special edition indeed. Oh, my goodness. We're back again, American Adversaries, on 660 WORL. I'm Nostra Dennis from our studios here in Altamont Springs, the relative safety of Altamont Springs. We've been trying to reestablish connections with Christopher Hart and Larry Adams. They're both in Washington, D.C. They're reporting live on this weekend before Election Day, and Chris is at the Capitol, Larry's at the White House, but it seems chaos is breaking loose, and this broadcast has taken on a whole new meaning. Reports are that what looks like a spaceship has landed on top of the Washington Monument. We have with us, by sheer luck and coincidence, renowned astrophysicist Dr. Chikone Littell. Dr. Littell, can you give us your reaction to these extraordinary goings-on in Washington, D.C.?
No, but of course, we should not worry. We should not be concerned, Mr. Dennis. Our future is, it's safe. It's in the safe hands of President Barack Obama. He will keep the sky from falling this evening and for years to come.
Oh, wait a second. Colin is telling us we have Larry Adams back on the line. Larry, are you okay up there?
Oh, hey, baby, you know, you are so hot. Oh, yeah, come here. Ooh, yeah. Oh, but look, sweetie, I don't really have that much cash on me. I'm doing this radio thing, you got it?
Well, come on, you cheapskate. You don't have 50 bucks?
Larry, can you hear me? We are on the air now.
No, you see, my mom didn't give me that much cash to come here with.
Your mom? What's you middle-aged mama's boy? I'm getting sick of you messing around. I got a fish to fry.
Larry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Wait, come back here.
Cash.
They're
not mama's boys.
Oh, come on. Oh,
Larry,
my gosh.
Larry, we heard quite a lot of that conversation. I really don't know what to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Me neither, Dennis. Frankly, I'm ashamed, Dennis. I'm really ashamed. I should have gone by the ATM earlier. You know, just 50 bucks. And Dennis, she was a hottie. Oh, yeah, by the way, here at the White House.
Aliens,
you idiot. Oh, aliens. Oh, yeah, hey, Dennis. Yes, folks. This is Larry Adams coming to you live from Washington, D.C., where I'm on a remote location along with my partner, Christopher Hart. I'm still outside the White House gates, and I assume Chris is still at the Capitol building.
He is, Larry. And just going back to your recent conversation, to quote you every week on American Adversaries, don't do that again, okay? Anyway, yeah, Larry, what is happening over there? Can you see the ship?
I don't know, Dennis. Outside the White House grounds, things... Well, it's nuts. It's chaotic. People are screaming. I got to run to it. Everybody's running in all directions. Hey, stop. Get out of my way. You even have women running from perfectly good opening lines.
Well, that's open to debate, and we did hear that. Is the same thing going on in the White House?
No, that's just it, Dennis. It's not over there. In fact, you know, it's... well, shoot, I...
I'd call it strangely calm around the White House. There's no soldiers. There's no extra security. Wow, I only see White House aides just milling around talking on their cell phones.
All right, now, what about the ship, Lair? Can you see the ship from where you are?
Yeah, I can see most of it.
Well, what do you see?
Oh, well, you only asked me if I could see it. You didn't ask me what I see. Oh, okay. Well,
come on.
I can tell you it's huge. It really is. It's big. Now, I no longer see the Washington Monument. It's a huge cube, at least. Oh, God, it's got to be a city block from corner to corner. Probably two.
Can you tell? Is it still lit up like it was before?
Am I lit up? Well, not for years now.
No,
Dennis.
Larry. The ship. The ship.
Oh,
focus here.
Oh.
Is the ship lit up?
Yes. In fact, it's sort of... Oh, I don't know. I feel strange, Dennis. It's sort of mesmerizing. Except that it reminds me of one of those stupid Rubik's Cubes. God, I hated those things. Remember those? I hated it. I couldn't get on the inside, the outside.
Okay, Larry, we know that, but... Go on.
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys talking about Rubik's Cubes and all, but this is serious. Something is happening with the ship. It appears. No. Yes. Yes, it is. It's opening up. Dennis, the ship is opening up.
Hold on, Larry. I think we have Chris from his position at the Capitol. Chris, you're seeing something happening out there, too.
Oh, yes, Dennis. Let me just say first that it's chaos here also. People are running in all directions, some screaming, some crying, others yelling, I told you so.
I told you so? What does that mean?
But thank God I see trucks, black trucks, arriving with soldiers and extra security. But they're just arriving and haven't been able to deploy yet.
Now, can you see the ship? And if you can see it, what do you see inside it?
I can see the ship. It's hard to miss it. Sort of reminds me of when they plopped down one of them big old Walmart superstores right in the middle of Sanford.
Sanford?
Yeah, great little town. You know, ever been there? Hey, you know, Larry the Cable Guy's from there.
I know that. And what about the ship?
Oh, yeah. Like I was saying, people are running into me. It's big, all right, and bright. Lights are flashing all over. No, wait. The lights have stopped flashing and are just glowing now.
Hey, Dennis, can you ask Chris? I don't know if he can hear me or not. Can you see if anything is opening on the ship?
Chris, did you hear that?
No, Dennis. All I could hear was your breathing. By the way, you're very regular. You know that?
Well, thank you, Chris. That must be the Metamucil. But forget about that. Lair wants to know, what do you see?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Dennis, but I see the ship opening up. Sort of like elevator doors opening. Only it's a huge opening. At least 100 feet by 100 feet.
100 feet by 100 feet?
Yeah, you know, I just hold my thumb up in front of my eye and I count it down.
Okay. Chris, what about the ship?
It's open. I repeat, the ship is open. And furthermore, I see movement inside.
Yeah, you see aliens?
Not yet. I can't say that. I can't really tell what I'm seeing. I'm too far away. All I can see is shadows. Dennis, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't believe what I'm seeing. How's Lair? Is he okay?
Lair, are you still there?
Yes, Dennis. Yes, I am here.
Okay, Chris. Chris sees movement inside the ship. Do you see any?
No, I don't see anything moving just yet. But you got to remember, Chris always gets the good spots to see. Wait. No, wait a minute. Yes, I do. I do see something. Oh. Whoa. I see movement. It's more like silhouettes. I can't really make out any of their features. Dennis, I'm getting freaked out. I don't know what to make out of all this. You know, this night is turning into a nightmare.
Well, that says it all, Lair. It really does. Folks, this is American Adversaries 660 WORL special edition of American Adversaries on this Halloween / election day. And what else can I say? We will be right back.
Welcome back to this special edition of the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons, either living or dead, is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to
War of the Words.
Back again with American Adversaries on 660 WORL. I'm Nostra Dennis, and I got to apologize, folks, because
When these two guys are sitting in their seats, Lair Adams and Christopher Hart, things just move like clockwork. Before you know it, it's the end of the show, and they can't wait to do more. And I'll tell you what, I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. I'm really out of my comfort zone with what's going on up in Washington, D.C., but the show must go on, right? You got to just forge ahead and plow through. We have with us in the studio a renowned astrophysicist, Dr. Chikone Littell. Thank you very much for agreeing to join us here. And I'm just curious, what country are you from again?
It is obvious to anyone that is not the food. What do you think? I am a French poodle?
Well,
I am from the country of France.
Yeah, and...
That's right. You can tell from my accent?
Well, I thought so,
just
but...
Just like me, I come and go, so does my accent.
I wasn't sure, though, because I do like French things. So let me just tell you that. I like French toast.
Yeah.
I like French fries. I like fries. We'll talk about kissing. I like lots of French things, but what caused you to decide you wanted to come to America and become a renowned astrophysicist here?
I did not come to America to be a renowned astrophysicist. I was a renowned astrophysicist in France, and I came here to teach you Americans how to be more like us French. France is the seat of reason.
They have universities in France.
Yes, but they do not call them universities. They have a silly French word. It means the same thing. Anyway, this is what I want to talk about. These aliens, these spacecraft.
Tell me what you know. I mean, I
don't know anything. Just because I'm an astrophysicist, you think I know all these answers? You think I read the script?
I thought you might.
I know these craft, they must come from another world.
Well, that's
a happier world.
The term alien actually refers to things outside of your normal sphere of influence. So,
well, what can I say?
Where do you think in the universe they could be from?
Well, outside of our solar system, it is obvious. I don't think the planets... They could not come from Mars. They could not come from Jupiter. I don't even think they could come from Uranus.
Uranus?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a planet, you foolish. All you Americans, a bunch of doo-doo heads.
Yes.
All of you, doo-doo.
I guess we are.
I'm sick of this.
Dr. Chikone Littell.
No. In my country,
Professor Wise, can you get in here?
Please.
Gentlemen,
please.
Thank you, Professor.
He does not respect me.
Please, Mr. Dennis. Cannot we maintain a little decorum? I believe this is live radio.
Yes, it is.
We have a potential game-changing election coming up. You have a very important issue going on at the D.C. White House, that area, with these potential aliens.
Anyway.
Can't we at least discuss things openly and carefully?
By the way, let me ask you, what is wrong with French fries?
Oh, I love French fries.
All right.
Okay. Now that we've got that settled.
That's right.
Professor, just a quick maybe 30 seconds on what impact do you think the arrival of these aliens is going to have on the election, specifically the Florida governor's race?
Well, it's going to be hard to determine if this action is going to help or hinder the Democrats. We don't know yet what these aliens might actually want. We don't know what the outcome of their arrival might be. And when you get right down to it, things are still up in the air. It does appear, though, that they seem to be leaning a little more to the left. I believe, if I was listening to these reports correctly, from the positioning of Mr. Hart and Mr. Adams, that spaceship actually came down a little bit to the left of center.
I hadn't heard that.
I think. I think Johnny Crist is a Frenchman. I like Johnny Crist. He is really a Frenchman. You can see it in the way he talks.
Okay, on that note, I think we're just about done with this first hour of the strangest American adversaries I've ever been a part of. It's 660 WORL. We are the American Adversaries. We've got another hour coming up. Going to get back to Chris Hart and Lair Adams. And
any French listeners out there?
I sure hope we'll be back after this.
We continue now with a special Halloween election edition of American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons, either living or dead, is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, obviously pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals. Please do not try this at home.
Ladies Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the American Adversaries. Join Lair Adams and Christopher Hart as they grapple for the truth in politics and life. Here they are, the American Adversaries.
Okay, let's get ready to crumble now. My goodness. We're back again with American Adversaries on 660 WORL. I'm Nostra Dennis. In case you've just joined us, what's assumed to be a spaceship has landed on top of the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. on the very day that our hosts Lair Adams and Christopher Hart are there. First of all, let me thank Professor Sylvester Wise for joining us the first hour of the show.
Yes.
And thank you for rejoining us at the end of the hour. It seems we're a little adversarial here between Dr. Shikong Littell, astrophysicist, and myself. No offense, please, Doctor. I love the French. I really do.
Yes.
So it seems cooler heads are prevailing here, and thank you, Professor Wise, for being a cool head.
Oh, all right, thank you.
Okay. Now, we were talking at the break about these strange happenings. Dr. Littell, you were saying an alien invasion like the one that appears to be going on right now is good news. How can this be good news?
I do not know. I do not want to talk to you.
Please.
You have made me mad.
Please.
But of course, when Dr. you think Littell. About it, it is good news. You see, everyone needs to remain calm. Life is going to be like a raspberry strudel. These beings are obviously far more advanced and wiser than we stupid human beings are here, not to wage war with us, but to save us. Just give in to them. Just give in to the Nostradamus, just like Barack. They know what's best for us.
And you're serious about this?
Of course. What do you think I am? I'm a Frenchman. I know everything.
I think you're one of the most intelligent people in the world, and that's what it says here on the paper in front of me.
I wrote that.
Thank you. Okay, let's get back to Lair Adams. We have him back on the line. Thank you, Colin, for reattaching our lines so we can get a hold of him. Lair, I hear you have a report, the first one issued directly from the president himself at the White House.
I got to compose myself here, Dennis. Yes, folks, this is Lair Adams from the White House. Now, folks, I got to tell you, and I'm getting jostled around here, too. Just moments ago, I was given access to the White House grounds. It was crazy. Someone shoved a media pass in my hand, and they heard me and a whole bunch of Washington Post reporters over there through the gate. Get over there, guy. Look, I can see what looks like some of the media. Stop. Hey, I said stop. Geraldo Rivera, I'm going to put that mic where the sun don't shine. Yeah, come back over here, you slap that mustache
Lair,
off
can
your
you still
face.
See the ship from where you are?
Well, there's people being escorted about. Oh, boy, the ship?
Yes, the ship.
Parts of it. Enough to see what looks like a delegation of aliens exiting. There must be 8 or 10 of them, Dennis. Uh-oh. Oh,
what?
My God.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
Dennis, they're headed this way, Dennis. What? Well, hold on. Oh, wait a minute. No. Now, Dennis, President Obama. President Obama has just exited the White House. He's being escorted by Jimmy Carter and someone who looks like he's the White House chef. They're meeting. They're meeting the aliens on the lawn.
Lair, can you see what they look like?
Well, President Obama is dressed impeccably in a dark suit.
No, Lair, the aliens, not the presidents, the aliens. What do the aliens look like? What do the aliens look like, Lair? Do you have any idea? Do they have 2 feet, 4 feet? Do they have five eyes?
You don't have to get upset. Jeez Louise! All right, look what we got here. Now, Dennis, they are definitely bipedal. That means two legs, you know.
Okay.
They walk upright like us, but their faces, I can't really quite make them out. They're really too far away. They're all posing for photos now, and, you know, I got to say it, these aliens pose really well. I think they've got some runway experience, you know. They're pretty good. Listen, they're all posing. Now they're all turning to returning to the White House. Oh, wait a minute. Dennis, wait a minute. They're coming this way.
Lair, is there any sign of fear or anxiety around the president?
That's what's so strange. They're acting like Well, they're kind of acting like old friends. I mean, they're laughing, and they got their really long arms around one another. You thought Barack Obama had long arms. Oh, wait a minute. Now, they're all disappearing into the White House. Hey, they're making us move. Hey, come on, guys. They're making us move right now. Back to you, Dennis.
Okay. All right. Let's get back here to the studio, and let's talk to Dr. Littell. Dr. Littell, your thoughts, please. The president seems like he was just smiling, waving to the crowd, welcoming the aliens into the White House. What can this mean?
I can only say that we are so fortunate. So fortunate as a nation to have Barack Obama as our president on this wonderful day. Can you imagine if someone else, say, a poophead like George Bush was the president? He would most likely be doing something stupid and foolhardy, like trying to fight with the aliens. President Obama, on the other hand, possesses a much more superior intellect. He is welcoming these peaceful visitors as the leader of the world should.
Wait, Dr. Littell, don't you mean the leader of this nation?
What did I say?
You said the leader of the world.
Oh, but of course Barack Obama is only the leader of the United States of America for now.
What? Oh. Folks, Christopher Hart's back with us. He's got an update from Capitol Hill. Apparently, he's telling us about some activity on the other side of the spacecraft, the far end of the ship. Chris, what's happening over there?
Dennis, are you there? Listen, guys, you wouldn't believe me what's happening around me. Soldiers and police have cordoned an area off. It's encircling the Capitol building and the area between the ship and the Capitol. And it appears the ship itself has also been cordoned off.
Can you still see what's going on?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I believe they wanted me to be able to see. As they were setting up this fence-like barricade, a police officer saw our equipment and moved the barricade to give me a front-row seat.
A front-row seat?
Yes.
A seat to what?
I'm not sure, but a bunch of equipment and something resembling a shower is being set up by the aliens right on the Capitol steps.
Wait, you're telling me that the police and the soldiers have trapped the aliens?
Dennis, I hate to say it, but it appears to me that they're actually helping the aliens, or at the very least, keeping everyone out of the way to do whatever it is they're doing. They allowed a bunch of aliens to come out of the ship and with all this stuff.
Chris, are you close enough to see their faces?
Yes, Dennis. Oh, my, yes. They're hideous. They're clones. They all look alike.
Oh, what do they look like?
Oh, Dennis, they have a shock of thick, curly brown hair, huge foreheads and noses, and eyes that are constantly looking down. Down those big old noses. Those eyes look cruel, but their brows are deeply furrowed.
You are describing, sounds like it has a striking resemblance to Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Do they have mouths?
My God, Dennis, you're right. They do. They do look like Geithner, but their mouths are obscured. I can't. No, they're not. I thought they were because their mouths are big, very big, with big Botox-like lips.
Okay, Chris, I have to break in. It seems Lair is back. He has another press release from the White House. Lair, are you there?
Hey, all right, come on, guys. Just stop it. That's right, Dennis. Oh, boy, get out. I'm trying to get my hands on George Behar, you give me that menu. You give me that menu. Lady, you are so ugly, you make a butt pimple look sexy.
Oh, gosh.
I got one, Dennis.
Lair, what do you have? You have a piece of paper in your hands from the White House. What is it about?
It is a White House menu press release.
Menu? How can people think of eating at a time like this?
This is significant. I got to tell you, buddy. This looks pretty good. You want me to read it to you?
I would like that. This is radio, of course.
Yeah. All right, for appetizers. Or do you don't read things?
That's hors d'oeuvres. If you were French, you'd know how to pronounce that. Yeah,
I would like the French. They talk funny. Anyway, let's see what I have for appetizers. Oh, check it out. Iranian caviar. I might blow up on you later.
I did not know they had that.
Bill O'Reilly sour grape dip. Okay. Think of any pins for the pinhead dip? Oh, Glenbeck deviled eggs. Oh, they're going to sour on that. And, look at this. Oh, you'll love this one, Dennis. Hannity crab rolls.
Ah, you're a great American, Lair. You're a great American.
Well, I don't know. I didn't make up the menu, but someone else did. Main course looks like a choice of... check it out. Sarah Palin shish kebab. Says here it's marinated in Alaskan moose, gut gravy, or roasted Rush Limbaugh stuff with plenty of ham.
What is that?
I love it. Oh, it's all drenched in Tabasco sauce. He used to be tobacco sauce, but he is forming nicotine-stained fingers. Or
I see.
Guaranteed to get you hot under the collar. Of course, that's Rush Limbaugh. Oh, they got some sides here, too. These are great scalloped Bill of Rights, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
And the our ultimate shredded Constitution coleslaw. Something has a bad sound about it. Anyway, Gingrich Goose. Oh, Gingrich Goose Gander, topped with creamy hollandaise sauce and founding father fritters.
See, that hollandaise sauce, that's French, too, isn't it?
I thought it was from Holland.
Okay.
Oh, well, I don't know. It has Holland in the word, you know, or days. It's like day or night. Anyway, desserts are going to be cool. As the they have lots of great desserts. The main beverage, by the way, is Tea Party soaked in green alcohol. That's one thing politicians love is their alcohol in it. We have Nutty Reform Tart, or Torte, excuse me, for French, Torte, in strawberry sauce, conservative fruit bowl, served with apples, some kind of Obama post-Bush upside-down steak cake. Ha! That sounds good. How do you eat upside-down cake? Anyway, do you have to stand on your head?
I think
I
you do.
I wonder about that. Okay, we got pork. Lots of pork. You know that they always have lots of pork. That's pork. They have stimulus-soaked snow cones filled with unlimited refills.
How are we going to pay for these unlimited refills?
Well, I don't know. What's this torrent reform? You're right. Everything like that. Actually, you know what? There'll just be a new stimulus.
Okay.
Okay, hold it. Wait a minute, Dennis. I got some. There are some people coming over here right now. Hey, folks. No. Look, I'm not bothering anything. They're on their way where I'm standing. All right. What? All right. What do you guys want with me?
Hey, you.
What?
Hey.
What?
You.
No. Get over here.
No.
Hey.
Don't get away.
Lair Adams. Can you hear me? Folks, we've lost contact with Lair Adams. This is American Adversaries on 660 WORL. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to this special edition of the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons either living or dead is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to
War of the Words.
Hello, folks. Nostra Dennis here with American Adversaries on 660 WORL. And we have had a problem with Lair Adams' connection. We had him just before the last break. We're quite concerned with what we just heard from him. He was in some kind of stress, screaming and yelling, but we are doing our best to reestablish contact with him. In the meantime, wow, we haven't been airing the phone number this whole show, but I see we do have a phone caller. Oh, it says on the call screen aboard, it's Lair's mom, Mrs. Adams. Folks, I really think I should take this call, so please bear with me. Hello, Mrs. Adams. I'm sure you are beside yourself with worry about Lair.
No, not really. I'm sure Lair's fine. He's always getting into trouble.
Well, Mrs. Adams, I think this time he might really have a problem. I mean, these are aliens. These are strange beings, not of this world.
Yes, and they're all going to have their hands full with Lair. He was the biggest problem of all my children.
Well, Miss Adams, with all due respect, ma'am, I think this is serious.
No, what's serious is I think you should run the show. You're so much better than Lair or Chris.
Oh, Miss Adams, this is not the best time to... Do you really think that? You think I do a better job on the show?
Of course. Well, I've got to run. Think about the Nostra Dennis show, Dennis.
Thanks for your call, and bye, Miss Adams. You know, I have been thinking. Nah, this is really not the time or the place for this. But, well, speaking of Lair, we do have him back on the line again, and I understand he is okay.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I'm fine, Dennis. How you doing, buddy?
You were screaming like the devil when we went into the break. What happened?
What? Oh, that. Oh, it was nutty. Some jogger ran by me, and he bumped into me, and I knocked this heavy microphone right on my foot. Dennis, I've had foot problems all my life, and right now it really hurts like a mother. I can tell you, I think I'm all right now, buddy.
Well, what about the aliens?
Actually, Dennis, I've just seen them. I don't know if the aliens have foot problems like
now,
me.
I'm not asking about the, never mind. We're glad you're okay, Lair. Christopher Hart is live at the Capitol. And, Chris,
that's right,
what's going on there?
That's right, folks. This is Christopher Hart of the American Adversaries, and I'm standing just behind the barricade at the base of the Capitol steps. The building itself looks beautiful, even amidst all the chaos going around around it. There are helicopters above in the darkness. There's spotlights. They're helping to illuminate what's happening here on the ground.
And what is happening?
Well, as you can probably hear, a huge crowd has gathered and become very excited. Lindley Lionheart has somehow made it through the crowd and is standing next to me. Lindley, what do you think about what's happening?
Yeah, I tell you what, Mr. Harden, it just makes me so angry, Jack. There's all them there aliens. They're just grinning like a mule eating yellow jackets. Well, they just zapped them poor folks. It's hard.
Whoa, wait, people are being zapped. What does he mean, Chris?
Dennis, for the lack of a better word, that's exactly what's happening. Members of Congress and even some media people have been lined up from the doors of the Capitol down the steps to the area right in front of us.
Okay, Chris, are you okay? What was that I just heard?
That was the zapper, Dennis. I can hardly believe my eyes. Do you hear it? That shower-like device? It's an alien converter. It's something, golly Moses. But it doesn't work on everyone.
What are you talking about? It doesn't work on everyone. What do you mean?
Well, as a person stands under the shower-like thing, they're zapped. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? And as the person is zapped, either they become aliens or nothing happens to them at all.
Well, so you're telling me some people are immune to this ray gun?
Excuse me. There's people out there. I'm getting jostled. I don't know if immune is the right word, but I'm trying to find out why some people become aliens and others don't. Dennis, I don't know if you can hear, but some of the crowds become very unruly. Some aliens are approaching them with some kind of gun carrying their tanks on their backs, kind of like exterminators. Oh, no, they're spraying the crowd. Oh, God. But wait, they're not dying. They're simply becoming docile with silly grins on their faces. Hey, they're chanting something. It sounds like, I hear them chanting something. It sounds like, yes, it's like they're saying, I don't care anymore. That's it, they're chanting, I don't care anymore. You know what? They were hit with apathy gas. They were hit with apathy gas.
Chris, we have to cut away from you now. We have to go to Lair. He has his hands on yet another press release at the White House. Lair, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can, Dennis. Boy, that's unbelievable what Chris is going through. Oh, and the press release that they just handed me, it says here that President Obama and the aliens have struck a peace deal.
A peace deal? I didn't even know we were at war.
Dennis, I don't know if this is a typo, because they didn't spell peace P-E-A-C-E. They spelled peace P-I-E-C-E.
That doesn't make sense.
Because, oh my God, the release goes on to say that in order to adequately appease the aliens, and therefore to benefit from their goodwill, the United States, oh my God, Dennis, the United States will cede Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and Southern California, including Los Angeles, to the aliens. Well, they could have given them all of California. We will literally give them a piece of America. Oh, no. Oh, my God, it goes on to say, and I quote, they're also, and as many conservative and Tea Partiers as they can eat.
That is disgusting. That's have horrible. You ever eaten a Tea Partier? They're all fatty. Anyway, oh, my goodness, Larry, weren't you just saying the other day these states would have to fight not to end up in the hands of aliens?
Well, you know, I hate to say it.
Guys,
some certain parts of the...
Dennis, Larry, guys, I hate to break back in. I'm sorry, folks. This is Christopher Hart from the base of the steps at the Capitol Building in Washington, D.C. I've been witnessing human beings being zapped by, what I call a conversion ray. It's some sort of a conversion ray.
Chris, have you found out why some of these humans are affected by this ray and others are not? Why do some people, but not all of them, turn into the aliens?
Hold on. I'm getting pushed around here, Dennis. Yes, the humans who turn into aliens are liberals. They're the liberals. They're the ones who are either being converted into aliens, or maybe they were aliens all along. I don't know. But now they're just being free for the human body.
So you're saying that true conservatives are not being affected?
Not a bit, Dennis, not a bit. Once the person is zapped, if they're an alien, they're allowed to roam free. If not, if they're conservative, they're being escorted to what appears to be a corral area. It's surrounded by a steel cage.
A steel cage. You know, that reminds me. Back in 79, I saw Larry Zbysko and one of the Hart brothers. I forget who it was. In a great steel cage. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting off on a tangent here. Okay, let me ask you this thing.
Excuse me.
You okay, Chris?
I'm getting jostled around. Just a minute, Dennis. I hate to cut you off, but Nancy Pelosi has just been let out of the Capitol building and is being led along the barricade right in front of me. She's coming my way.
Is she fighting them?
No, she's not fighting them. Well, but she is carrying that big gavel in her hands. You know, the one she wielded when Obamacare was passed? But she's just carrying it. And she has that same wax figure-looking grin on her face. She's almost here. Maybe I can get an interview. Miss Pelosi. Let me just move my cup here. Whoops. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Miss Pelosi. I didn't mean to do that.
Ah, you cursed rat. Spilling your water on me. Look what you've done. Oh, I'm melting. Melting. Oh, what a world. How could you destroy my beautiful wickedness? Oh, no. I'm going.
Ah, hi. I'm George Takei.
Oh, my God, folks. This is incredible. Nancy Pelosi has been revealed to be, she melted into George Takei.
She melted into George Takei?
Yeah, you know, Sulu from the original Star Trek.
Oh, and the father of the guy from Heroes.
Right.
And the guy on the TV commercials with the yellow and the,
right.
Oh, what is he doing there?
He was Nancy Pelosi.
That doesn't make sense. You mean she wasn't an alien, but she was really Sulu? I mean, George Takei?
I guess so, Dennis. Let me see if he'll talk to us. George.
Hi, I'm George Takei.
George, were you really Nancy Pelosi in drag?
All these years.
Why don't you take that gavel and smash a few aliens in their grotesque heads?
Oh, that's something Will would do, that overactor. Oh, no, I have better plans for it. Do you want to know what they are?
No, thanks. Tell me, what do you think about all of this?
It's sending a tingle up my leg.
Thanks, George Takei.
Would you like to hold my gavel?
No, thank you, Mr. Sulu. Dennis, I better throw it back to you.
Okay, thanks very much. Chris Hart with a strange scene from the Capitol building and a little cameo there by George Takei. It seems aliens have landed on Earth. They have made contact with both the president and with the regular population. We're going to be back in, I guess as soon as we can be back after this break, we'll try to get a hold of both of them. I think Chris and Larry are both on the line, and we'll see what we can do to get them back on. This is American Adversaries. We are 660 WORL online, WORL660.com. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
To this special edition of the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons, either living or dead, is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to
War of the Words.
We are back, American Adversaries on 660 WORL with the spookiest edition I have ever been a part of. Ladies and gentlemen, aliens have landed on Earth. And as we speak, they are meeting with our president at the White House. We have here in the studio renowned astrophysicist Dr. Chicken Chikone Littell. And Doctor, can you please tell us why you have that goofy grin on your face?
Yes, it is. It's because I can speak French and you cannot.
Don't ask me, though.
Oh, this is not obvious. These aliens, they are liberals. The liberals, they are aliens. This was the only hope for our Earth to survive, to let the liberals run the world. No one will ever have to worry about filling their car with gas. Or making a mortgage payment or a car payment ever again. We are free. And it's thanks to President Barack Obama and our alien liberators. I mean, liberals. But, of course, liberal liberators is what they are.
Dennis, I hate to break in, but most of the alien conversions seem to be over. The line down the steps after the converter is very short now. And you'll never guess some of the surprising outcomes I've witnessed.
What do you mean by surprising outcomes, Chris?
Well, some of the people you thought were liberals were not liberals at all, and some of the conservatives were liberals.
Well, give us some examples. What are you talking about?
Dennis, I wrote some of the names down. Let me check. Hold on a second. The crowd's very tight here. Where's that list? Here it is. Get this, Dennis. Al Franken, Alan Grayson, Michael Moore, Whoopi Goldberg, and George Behar all turned out to be conservative.
Conservatives? That makes no sense. Franken, Grayson, Behar?
Grayson was actually bold enough to mock the aliens, screaming at them, "You idiot libs actually believed me." Now they've sprayed him with African gas. He's over there singing that old Phil Collins tune.
I don't care anymore.
He's a pitiful sight. He's pitiful now that they've taken the fire out of his belly.
Okay, let's go the other way. Were there any conservatives who actually turned out to be liberals?
You wouldn't believe it, Dennis. Yes. And they're just as surprising. Ann Coulter, Glenn Beck, Clarence Thomas, Dick Cheney all turned out to be liberals. In fact, Justice Thomas was revealed to be a liberal alien, he pulled out what looked like a joint. You know, a marijuana cigarette.
I know what they are, Chris.
Well, he pulled it out. He lit it up, and I could swear I heard him mumble something under his breath.
All right, what did he say?
Sounded like he laughed, and then he said, "Let them stuff this up their commerce claws and smoke it."
Oh, hey, listen, Dennis, guys. I got to tell you, I was just a state dinner with aliens. It has just ended. And President Obama is reemerging from the White House. I know all this because they just handed me a press release. I'm being told that they will be issuing a live joint statement to the world. You see, right now, Dennis, I don't understand it, but there's an eerie calm here in Washington right now. Nobody's upset or even alarmed. In fact, most of the people I can see in the crowd are smiling peacefully. You know, it kind of looks like a little bit like a Grateful Dead concert I went back to in 73. Oh, God, what was that hippie girl's name? She was a fox. I remember she had blue hair, had kind of a big mole on her neck, and she didn't shave her armpits, but those were the good old days.
All right.
Anyway.
Blair, keep on trucking. Have fun out there. Let's get back to Chris Hart over at the Capitol. Chris?
Dennis, things are hardly calm here, man. But first, let me tell you that the zapper, the alien conversion, seemed to be over. By the way, I think I saw Phil Russo in his eye leading up to the zapper. If it was him, he turned out to be an authentic conservative.
Phil Russo?
I couldn't really tell because he had one of those powdered wigs on. Yeah, you know, Phil Russo of the Tea Party Patriots. Oh, by the way, folks, the Tea Party Patriots have a show right here on 660 every Saturday from 4 to 6.
Okay, Chris, no need for that right now. But if the alien conversions are over, then what's happening now?
Well, most of the aliens have returned to the ship, and the conservatives who are corralled up were let off. A rumor in the crowd is that they were led toward the kitchen entrance to the White House.
Kitchen entrance? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Hey, but let me say this. The best part of the night was when the aliens led Linda McMahon up to the zapper.
Linda McMahon, who's currently 9 points down in her race in Connecticut against Richard Blumenthal?
That's her.
What happened?
Well, she hauled off and kicked one of those aliens right in the crotch. The others started pointing and laughing, and they let her just walk away.
They let her walk away?
Yeah, to cheers, I might add, and she was flexing her muscles.
She is one powerful woman. Okay, what about the rest of the crowd, Chris? Are the people dispersing or what?
I'm sorry, Dennis. I'm getting jostled about. Can you repeat that?
What is happening with the crowd?
Well, the crowd has grown all night, and it still seems to be growing, and it's getting more unruly. There's anxiety all around, and rumors are rampant. Two of the most common rumors are, one, people are being eaten at the White House, and another is that the aliens are here to save us from ourselves.
Okay, have the aliens shot any more people with what you were calling apathy gas anymore?
Yes, Dennis, they have. And as a matter of fact, I can see aliens dousing the crowd in the distance as we speak.
All right, Chris, let me just say, don't endanger yourself, please. Get out of there before anything happens to you.
Okay, Dennis, but first, let me just say this first.
What, Chris, what?
In a short span of just a few minutes, this trip has turned into a nightmare. I mean, it was bad enough to make me sit on plastic in the limo, but at the beginning of this Halloween night, everything was beautiful. People were enjoying our nation's capital. Yeah, sure, liberals were sad and conservatives happy, but everybody was enjoying the night together.
And now?
And now everything is upside down. The liberals are happy and conservatives sad. Everyone is panicking.
All right, Chris, but please, for God's sake, get out of there.
This crowd is huge and dense. But I think I'll... Hey, don't do that! Don't do that!
Ah! Chris, are you okay? Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Dennis.
What?
Dennis, guess what?
What?
I don't care anymore.
Oh, no.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, no, Chris.
Hey, George, there's George Sky. Hey, George, take this, man. I don't care anymore.
Don't worry about it, folks.
Dennis!
Hi, I'm George Takei. Would you like to hear about my gavel?
Dennis! No, thank you, Mr. Takei. Chris, well, we're going to have to find out what's going on with Chris for now. Let's get back to Lair Adams.
That's
Lair.
That's right. No, this is exciting, Dennis. Look, now, first of all, do not worry. Folks, I don't want anybody here worrying about Chris, even though he's been zapped. He is an American adversary.
That is correct.
And we are not like normal people.
That's definitely
people
correct.
People tell me that all the time.
All the time.
I don't know. Anyway, I break in here because I can see the president standing out in front of the White House, folks. Right now it looks like he's posing for a photo opportunity. He does appear to be there with several aliens at the podium. Oh, it's one of those podiums with a presidential seal on it and... Oh! Ha! Presidential seal has fallen off the podium again!
That is funny.
His microphone wasn't on yet, but I gotta tell you, I just heard the president ad-lib and say, well, that's okay. All of you know who I am. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold it. Wait, what is going on here? Dennis, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Two of the aliens, well, they're moving towards the president. They're on both sides of him. Oh, my God, they're grabbing the president. They're grabbing the president by his ears! Those ears of his, he's got one and... Oh no! Oh my God, they're tugging on both of Obama's ears! My God, his ears are pulling apart! They're being pulled right out of his head! No! Oh my God, his whole head is... I can't tell what's going on! Oh my Lord, the aliens have pulled the president's skin completely off his body! Look, they were unzipping a Halloween costume! The president! He's an alien! He's an alien, Dennis! I knew it! I told everyone! I knew it! It all makes sense now! The birth certificate and the Kenyan thing and all the missing records!
Kenyan? He was an alien.
I knew that Brock was aboard of the United States after all! I knew it!
Back to this special edition of the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Portions of tonight's program have been scripted and rehearsed. Any resemblance to actual persons, either living or dead, is purely intentional. Celebrity voices have been impersonated, probably pretty badly. A reminder, we are broadcast professionals, so please do not try this at home. And now, back to
War of the Words.
Hello, America. This is Lair Adams. In closing on this incredible night, I'll tell you the latest on what our country, our world, is enduring. I've learned one thing, that man is a thinking creature. Actually, that's a line from a really cheesy alien movie, where like the alien looks like a cross between a cucumber and like a big acorn squash, and this ugly, horrible scowl on his face, like he just smelled something really bad. Oh, that was bad. They ended up killing him with a small Ace Hardware blowtorch to his eye. Folks, I kind of felt sorry for him. Anyway, I got off the track, and this is important. This is the moral of our story. The liberal aliens took over the world, and alas, they have consumed all of the conservatives. Liberals literally ruled the world. They had total control. You might think that all would be right and joyous in the world, with only compassion and genius liberals left, but you would be wrong. Well, at first there was a brief period of joy, but it soon deteriorated into a world far worse than any the planet has ever known. Very soon,
boredom sets in. Liberals somehow feel empty in their lives. They begin to snipe and pick at one another, first over petty things, and then over everything. It isn't long before they begin to fight, kill, and consume one another. First to go are the appeasers themselves, groups like the media, now, and intellectuals. Then it was every alien for themselves. You see, the liberals violated natural law. They destroyed their hated opposite, conservatives, and conservatism. They did not realize that the Greek philosophers, what they knew over 2,500 years ago, and what our forefathers did learn over 200 years ago, that our natural world is made up of opposites. They're all around us, even in us. We cannot avoid them, nor live without them. No one side of an opposite can exist by itself. Opposites need one another to be complete. In fact, they are simply extremes of one another. Like Benjamin Franklin said, a man who is 19 and isn't a liberal has no heart. A man who is 40 and is not a conservative has no head. Liberals are like children who want no responsibility. This is why our forefathers designed our government as an adversarial form of government.
Did you like that little plug for the adversaries?
it is the natural state of things. Humans are prone to disagree. Our elections are how we rebalance power. Furthermore, we need a war of the words to be complete. Without a constant back and forth via a war of the words, we would eventually internalize our disagreements and resort to violence, both towards others and towards ourselves. A war of blood.
Well, that sounded dramatic, didn't it?
After the liberals and aliens rid themselves of all conservatives, they discovered that they still had differences. Some liberals were conservative liberals. They were killed next. On and on and on and ad infinitum. It kept going until no one was left except, hopefully, a few pockets of humans who somehow escaped and would have to pick up the pieces and start over again. And the same would be true if conservatives have complete control. Don't you understand that? So in the future, if ever one side or the other were to somehow gain control, all of us, we need to do one thing.
And what would that be, Lair?
To sound the alarm. The alarm. The alarm. The alarm. The alarm. The alarm.
Chris. Chris, wake up. Chris! Chris!
Chris, hey!
What?
Get up!
What is it?
I hate that alarm clock.
What do you want?
Chris, you have been asleep.
Asleep?
Yeah, sorry, dude.
Oh, man, I am so sorry. Oh, guys, but you'll never believe the dream I just had. But wait, it wasn't a dream. It was a place. And you were there. But you couldn't have been, could you?
No, come on.
You're crazy, Chris.
What did he drink before he went to...
What did he eat?
Hey, this was a real, truly live place, and some of it wasn't very nice. Doesn't anybody believe me? Oh, well, I'm here, and you're all here, and I'm not going to leave here ever, ever again. At least not until we do tonight's show.
Tonight's show, Chris. Look at the clock.
Sorry,
you slept through the whole thing.
It was a great show, too, buddy. Oh, I got to tell you, Dennis, that interview you did with Sarah Palin, that was incredible, Mr. Dennis.
Thank you. And she is a sweetheart, isn't she?
Yep.
And, you know, it was really good.
Nice lady.
But it wasn't as good as when you did that election analysis with Newt Gingrich and James Carville.
James Carville, he is such a hoot.
He really is.
I love the guy. Oh, and I want to thank you again for scheduling Marco Rubio and Charlie Crist
mm-hmm.
to call in at the same time.
Sure.
Now that was riveting radio. They went at it, buddy.
Oh, man. You mean it all really was a dream? Oh, my.
Sure was, Chris Van Winkle. Don't worry, though, Chris. I believe our good friend Colin is burning us a DVD for you right now so you can hear what you missed.
What? You mean the show's over? It was the best ever. Oh, gosh, folks. Listen, folks, really, I am so sorry for this. And
Did you even tell our listeners that next week we're going to have a special Veterans Day show and that we're going to review all the election results and everything?
Well, no, but you just did.
Oh, folks, listen, folks, I promise never, never again will I eat two bean burritos and a hot pepper pineapple pizza before showtime ever again. And, by the way, speaking of that, guys, I got to go. I got to go, okay? I'll see you later, folks. Bye now. Hey, remember, we're the American Adversary. See you next week.
Chris, oh, my gosh, where did he go?
Ran out with his
my
headphones
goodness.
Attached, something wrong. There. Oh, we have some people to thank there, don't we, Mr.?
We have a lot of people to thank. Let's roll the credits. The credits for tonight's show include Fast Eddie Pierce, Jill Starr, Ed Wright, Christopher Hart, Lara Adams, and me, Nostra Dennis. We'd like to thank Jeff Sennis, our regular weekly engineer here in American Adversaries, and Colin Brady, who is the executive producer of tonight's broadcast. We want to thank WORL 660 AM and Salem Communications for making this whole thing possible. We also have a couple of other reminders. We want to wish Eva well. We hear she's a little under the weather, and we're thinking of her. We hope she will call us next week.
Absolutely.
Next week, we're going to have a special edition of American Adversaries. It's going to be kind of a combination. We're going to have election results with that guy, Nostra Dennis, who comes in and talks about those things. Yeah, he'll be there. We're also going to have a musical guest. Matt Shank is going to be with us. He's going to be playing some music.
I have heard this guy. This guy is incredible, and his rendition of God Bless America is absolutely... he's a great guitarist, but a fabulous singer, too.
Well, I'm going to think, then, that next week's show is going to be even better than this week's show.
Hey, Diz, before you wrap it up, I have one more thing to say. Folks, we have a super gigantic, absolutely fantastical thank you, big thanks to our super prognosticator, Nostra Dennis. I got to tell you, folks, he put in a lot of extra work in tonight's show. Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Thank you so much, and it was fun to do. More importantly, and the whole theme of tonight's show, was to have a little bit of fun, have a little bit of nonsense going on, but to remind everybody to vote. Doesn't matter to me who you vote for. Well, it kind of does, but go out and cast your vote. If you don't cast your vote, then you really have no right to complain over the next 2 years.
And you're not a good American.
No, you're really not. There are very few not good Americans in this country, but if you don't vote, that'll make you
and
one of them.
And as we also wanted to point out tonight, we live in an adversarial form of government. We remind you that every week. We don't want to beat a dead horse, but folks, that's why we do it. We want to make you think, make a decision. You may have to hold your nose and vote on a few elections on this one, but do what you think is right. But get out there and vote.
Speaking of holding your nose, where is Christopher Hart? He was sleeping in the corner for 2 hours and...
I'll let you handle that one there, buddy.
All right. By the way, this ending music is a song that Chris himself chose. It's called I Need You by Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's an instrumental if you are a fan of the Skynyrd. And I think he chose it because of the title, because we need each other.
You got it. Bye.
Hey, guys, y'all ready to go home?
I guess so, Chris.
Oh, I can't believe y'all let me sleep through the show.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Came out all right.
Good. We want to thank all of our friends, all of our families, our sponsors, and especially you, our listeners, because without you, there would be no American Adversaries. Once again, be sure to tune in next week, our election results show, as well as a special tribute to veterans. That is going to be a very special show.
I hope everyone enjoyed our little piece of candy tonight. Mm-hmm. If this is Trick or Treat, this is our treat for you.
And I guess that about wraps it up. What do you think?
Thanks for being a part of our show, folks.
Ready to get out of here?
War of the words. You heard it here.
And we will be back live next week, the American Adversaries, from 6 to 8, right here on News Talk 660 WORL.
And next week, Lara Adams sits in the mumble seat, and I go back there to the relative safety of call screening.
The dungeon, we call it.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great evening.
Bye,
and remember,
everybody.
Have a great week. Go vote!
Like Lara says, life is wonderful.